FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome back to the Refresh Radio program. We want to thank you for joining us each Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening. If you miss those on WWBC 1510 AM, you can catch us at 10:30 in the morning. And we want to thank you once again for making the choice to spend a half hour with us as we go through the Word of God. Right now, we are doing a series that started with Seek First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. One of those aspects of seeking the kingdom of God was to seek truth, and we are right now going through seeking spiritual truth, where Jesus says, now listen, what I'm telling you is true. Verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, truly, I say unto you. Those are the things that we're looking at, which brings us to John chapter 7, which is where we are going to be studying today. But I would like to recommend to you today Coastal Image Landscapes. Their phone number is 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281. Dan and Treasure have done, how I came to meet them was I began looking for companies to do a project around my house. And I called three different people that were recommended through a Facebook inquiry, and Coastal Image Landscapes came up, and they were the third ones to come out. And turns out that Dan is a listener to the Refresh Radio program. So good morning, Dan. Good morning, Treasure. And they came out. They ended up doing a phenomenal job for us. They've done projects for us at the church as well now since then. They are a real blessing to the community. They will be a blessing to your exterior, to your yard, whatever it might be. If you've got pavers, if you need they've got two divisions. They've got the design and the implementation, and then they also have the lawn maintenance. I've dealt with the design and landscape portion, and that's where Dan and Treasure operate. But they do have a lawn service aspect as well that might be a blessing to you. Their phone number once again is 321-208-2281. If you don't need a landscaper, pray for them. Pray for all of them, because it's hot outside. And but if you do need someone to come out and give you some ideas, we've used them on our irrigation system. You know, that first project that I had, I think it ended up morphing into about two or three different things, and they got it up and running, and it works phenomenally. Our church is set up beautifully, and so we're very thankful for them and know that they will be a blessing to you. So today we're going to resume in John chapter 7. Let's pick up at verse number 32. Actually, let's pick up with verse number 31. And it says, and many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said, you will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? So we talked a little bit about the law of timing, and the Pharisees were very intent on arresting Jesus. And they were motivated because the people were believing in Jesus and they were recognizing messianic miracles taking place through Jesus' ministry. And, you know, sometimes it's the people who have maybe the freshest look on things that have the more accurate look on things. The Pharisees spent all of their time trying to control people and teach them the mandates of the law and what they couldn't do and tell them how horrible they were. And they just didn't compare, you know, to the religiosity that the leadership saw in themselves. The publicans, the tax collectors, the sinners, they started listening to John and believed his message. And then they saw Jesus doing miracles and they said, this looks like it is Messiah type of activity. And then the religious leadership in verse number 32 says, we got to shut this thing down. If we don't do something, this is going to get out of control. So I want you to understand God's timing. And, you know, one of the expressions about opportunity and timing is, and don't ask me who said it, I can't tell you. Somebody would know, and you can Google it and look it up. I can tell you who didn't originate the saying, and that was Bob Arthur. So I'm not taking any credit for it. I'm just telling you. Someone said the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. And Jesus comes along here in verse number 33 and says, look, there's going to come a time, circumstances are going to arise that you are going to notice that my presence among you is not going to be the same as it is today. This is what he said. Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. If you've got loved ones in your life, can I encourage you today to enjoy the time that you have with them? Enjoy the time that you have with them. It's not, this body that I have is not going to live to be 200 in the condition that it is in. I don't know that I would want to live to be 200 even if this body was able to do that. I mean, God controls, he controlled the day that I was born. He controls the day that I'm promoted to eternity. I'm not looking to rush it. I'm not looking to alter it. But with the way that this world is degrading, if you will, I can't imagine what it would look like in another 100-150 years. All you got to do is look at history and see that the nation states, they do not look the same as they did in, we're in 2022. They don't look the same that they did in 1952. They don't look the same as they did in 1902. They don't look the same as they did in 1800, 1700. Things change. And so Jesus is telling the people that are listening to him, look, I'm going to be with you a little while longer. He was trying to prepare them for the transition that was going to come. He said, I'm going to be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. That is the goal. Jesus states that the end goal is to be twofold. It is to be with the Father and to be with the saints. That's the goal. Jesus was with the Father. We had broken fellowship with the Father, and he came as Redeemer to reconcile us to the Father so that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the saints, the redeemed of the Lord, could spend forever together with him. Remember the goal. The goal is not to get rich. There's nothing wrong with money. As long as that love as long as money doesn't become the love of your life. The love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? So you want to keep Jesus at the center. You want to keep Jesus as the focal point. There's going to be transitions. I don't know of a person yet that has not experienced the death of a loved one. I have, and you know, it is. I wasn't there when my mother passed away, because she passed away so quickly. I'd been there when she was gravely ill a number of times, and she had pulled through. This time, we didn't even think it was a serious, you know, we just thought it was a little disruption in her health, but it turned out to be transformational instead. And at her memorial service, I felt sorry for my dad, because they had been married for almost 60 years. I felt loss for my family and my siblings' families. I did not feel sorry for my mother, because she had just crossed the finish line. She had moved from a scooter to running on the streets of gold and running into the arms of Jesus. The thing that I stated was that my mother transitioned from the love of her life, being my father, to the love of her eternity in Jesus. So if you've, you know, all of us get bothered by the transitions and the life and the loss, and it's, you know, it just makes me mad at the devil. That's what it does. But I know that the end result is to spend forever with Jesus. Don't ever forget the end goal. If you remember that that is the goal, all of the other disruptions and inconveniences and circumstances that arise that are uncomfortable, all of those will be diminished by the reality that you're going to spend a few million years, or a bunch of a million years, in the presence of Jesus. That will be a sin-free, pain-free, death-free eternity. That works for me. That works for me. Jesus said, I'm going back to the Father. Now, in another place, he said, it is expedient for you that I return to the Father. It's in your best interest to go to the Father, because I'm going to send God the Holy Spirit to you. It's in your best interest that he comes. Now, here's what I know. God doesn't make mistakes, and he works all things out for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So the goal is to spend forever in heaven, to be with you. Jesus' goal was to be with us, to go to the Father who sent him. He says, I turned the page to the wrong direction there. I thought I'd flip the page. In verse number 34, he says, you will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Now, there's a couple of things to notice about this verse, and that is that there were going to be people that once they had embraced all that Jesus was doing among them, that they were going to be looking for him after he returns to the Father. They were going to be looking for him and not being able to find him. The Bible says that we will seek him and we will find him. We will draw near to him. He will draw near to us. The key is when we seek him with all of our heart. So what he is saying here is that his physical appearance was not going to be something that they were going to be able to find. Upon his resurrection, Jesus spends, 40 days, I think, amongst the people. He would come, he would go, he would make appearances. He appeared to over 500 people after he was crucified and after he was raised from the dead. So there were appearances that were there, but if you go over to the book of Acts and to chapter 1, it says in verse number 9, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" So if we're going around looking for something that is not going to happen in God's timing, we're wasting our time. Okay, so there's no reason to go looking for a Jesus who is going to walk amongst us during this season, because that's not what is going to take place. The angel said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? You're standing here looking up in the clouds. This same Jesus that you saw taken away is going to return again, but it's not going to be right now. You need to get about the business that you are commissioned to take." So let me take you back there again. And it said, "Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So there are a lot of people that are misled because they're looking for a human manifestation of Jesus. Look, he's already come, been born of a virgin. He has already lived a sinless and holy life. He has already paid the price, died on the cross, was beaten so that our bodies could be made whole. Everything that needed to take place in the physical body of Jesus has taken place. So there's not another person that's going to come and you're going to say, "Oh, look, that's Jesus." That's how people get spiritually deceived, is people start claiming that they are Jesus. I want you to know, I'm not looking for a embodiment of Jesus and as someone that I'm supposed to worship. I tell you what I am looking for, though, and that is a bunch of people who will live as if Jesus is living in their hearts, because he is. Okay, that's what the world needs to see. It needs to see transformed lives. And so Jesus in another place says, there are going to be people that say, "Oh, the Christ is out in the wilderness. He's out over in this place." He said, don't go looking in those circumstances, because you will not find. Now, you and I, we can seek him not for a physical manifestation, but we can seek him as the living Christ and the Lord who reigns in our heart, but we've got to seek him with all of our heart. I don't know about you, but the timing, the events that we see happening on the world stage are of such that we need to realize that we may not always have the opportunity to seek him. I saw an article one time that was written about people who said, "You know, if I was ever in a plane crash, if I was ever in a car crash, I would be crying out for Jesus to forgive me of my sins." And the black box data recorders don't indicate that that's what happens. People who were profane, people who were sinners, people who were not living for God, continue to cry out as people who did not know God, even in the last moments of their life. People who know God, you know, none of us look forward to those sorts of things, but I will tell you that it's a lot easier to face a transitional moment when you know that heaven is on the other side than going through it and not knowing for sure what's going to happen. So Jesus says, where I am, you cannot go. So this is very interesting to me, because they listen to what he says, but they don't pay attention to what he said. They are confused by what he says. Listen to, as I read this text in verse number 34 again, and then they repeat what he says in verse number 36. This is what he says in verse number 34. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Verse number 36, what is this thing that he, Jesus, said? This is the people asking, you will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. So they heard what he said, but they didn't understand it. And so this was their question. Where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? I saw an article several years ago about a person who was going to try and go off of the grid. And they were going to just try and blend in. It was an experiment. It wasn't, you know, somebody running from the law or anything like that. They were just doing an experiment to find out how long it would take for someone to find them. And it was a very, very short period of time. And the way that they tracked them down, it wasn't through technology per se. They tracked them down through their dietary habits. If you ever wonder where I'm at, chances are that the people that know me could find me pretty easily at some point in time during the day, because I have a place that has food that is not very expensive, and it's not very far away from the church, and so it's just a very convenient jaunt to go over and get something for lunch and bring it back. And that's exactly what they did here. Where does he intend to go that we can't find him? With all of the technology and all of the scanning and all of the cameras and all of that sort of stuff, people believe that they can find anyone in a very quick period of time. And then they start asking this question, does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? So the dispersion among the Greeks were the Jewish people who had been scattered throughout the Greek-speaking world, and they begin to ask themselves, is he going to leave us here in Israel and go to start speaking to the people in the Greek-speaking world that are Jewish? And you can look at the life of Paul and see exactly how well people responded to that thought who were living in the Promised Land. They didn't like it at all. So when Paul was standing there speaking to the crowds and he started mentioning, hey, you've rejected me, so I'm going to go and tell the Greeks, all of a sudden they just went in an uproar. Well, I'm here to tell you, you and I, we need to seize the opportunity to experience God, to hear from God, learn from God, live with God. We need to be taking advantage of that, because there are other people that may be more receptive. Okay? So we want to make sure that we're not rejecting the very thing, the very person that God wants us to accept. So here's what he says. Where I am, not where I'm going to be, where I am, you cannot come. I want you to know that the omnipresence of God is a very real thing. And so he was like, I'm going to return to the Father because I live in his presence. I long for his presence. I delight in doing his will. Though that was the heartbeat that Jesus had. He's like, you're not going to be able to find me, because where I am, you can't get there from here. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't give your way into heaven. You can't preach your way into heaven. The only way to get into heaven is through asking Jesus to be the Lord of your Savior, because he shed his blood to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. That's the only way to get there. The only way. And so they're wondering about who he's going to go minister to, and what he doesn't, or what they don't realize, is that he's saying, look, my life as you know it is getting ready to be radically changed. The disciples didn't want to hear about the crucifixion. They didn't want to hear that he was going to be arrested. They didn't want to hear that he was going to be put on trial and die. He was doing what he could to prepare people. They didn't necessarily like to hear that. My job as a pastor is, in my understanding, similar to that of a person that's in charge of training people who enroll in the armed forces. And that is this. My job is to get you prepared for eternity. My job is to get you prepared so that you endure all the hardships that this life may offer while still serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not getting discouraged, not getting frustrated. And so I want to do my best to equip you. Listen, things are changing. There's going to come a time in this world when the dynamics of government is going to change to such an extent that they are no longer going to be tolerant of people of faith. They are going to be hostile to people of faith. It's already happening in places of the world. And, you know, now technology is in place and things like that. Don't procrastinate. Do not delay in asking Jesus to be a vibrant part of your life. You want him in control of your life. The best way that I can encourage you is to seek him right now. Find him right now. And then no matter what happens with the rest of the world and the rest of the things that go on in this life, you've got the most important part already secured. And you know this, where Jesus, you can rest on John 14. I'm going and I'm preparing a place for you, that where I am, you may be with me also. When you know Jesus and he knows you, he's going to come. He's going to make sure that we spend forever with him. So don't delay. Don't wait until it gets hard. Too many people say this: I'm going to seek him if the tribulation happens. No, you won't. If you won't do it when it's easy, you sure won't do it when it's hard. Do it now in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.